John. Good morning, everyone. Great to see you. Have you got flashy screens at the back? Marvellous. Just the front here. Great. I was wondering whether I was being a flashy vicar all the way to the back of the building, but praise the Lord for that. It's okay. Great. Well, lovely to see you. Welcome. Let's pray as we seek God's help to understand the Bible this morning. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for your word to us this morning. Help us to understand it from the youngest to the oldest, that we might trust in the promises of God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, I wonder, do you ever wonder, boys and girls and grown-ups here this morning, if people understand how you feel? Whether they know what you're thinking, maybe you feel sad or upset or worried, and you think, no one understands, no one cares, no one really knows what's going on in my head. Well, the great thing is this, that we know that actually God knows, that God cares, that God understands. And that is a wonderful truth. God knows, God cares, and God understands. I've just squeezed the S on there. It's very small. I ran out of space. God knows, God cares, God understands. And in chapter 15 of Genesis, Abraham is struggling. He's struggling, poor chap. He is fearful. He has questions for God. And he's wondering, Lord, why are you taking so long to answer the promises you made? Why are you taking so long? Do you remember the promises of God that he made? We saw them back in Genesis 12. He promised Abraham, there's Abraham, and he made promises to him that he'd bless him with a family, with people, with a place to live in, and that he'd be a blessing to the whole wide world. Those are the promises he'd made, a happy, happy people, a lovely, lovely land, and great blessing to the world through his family. And Abraham's wondering, Lord, you've made these promises, but are you going to keep them? I'm struggling. Abraham is struggling, but you know what? God knows, God cares, and God understands. And at the end of chapter 14, Abraham looks really great. He's just beaten a big army in a battle. He's just told the king of Sodom to keep all of his treasures. He doesn't need that. At the end of chapter 14, Abraham's in a good place. He looks good. But chapter 15, he might look good on the outside, but on the inside, he is struggling. He's not in a good place. And you say, how do you know that, Steve? Well, it's because of what the Lord says to Abraham, because God knows, God cares, and God understands. God speaks to Abraham, and we find out what's going on inside Abraham's heart and life. The word of the Lord comes to Abraham in a vision. He says, do not be afraid. The Lord knows that Abraham is scared. He's fearful. He's full of worries and doubts. He's fearful. The Lord knows that Abraham's feeling fearful on the inside. It's all been going well, chapter 14 and 15. He's had the victory in battle. He's rescued Lot. But I wonder if Abraham's thinking, well, what if the army comes to try and get me now? Will I be all right? And he told the king of Sodom, chapter 15, keep all your treasures. I want to glorify God. He will make me blessed. But maybe Abraham's thinking, well, what if I should have taken the money? Maybe I should have taken the treasures. And what does the Lord say? The Lord who cares, who understands, who knows, says, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. There you are worrying about maybe this army coming to get you. But actually, I am your shield. I'll protect you. I'll watch over you. I am God. I am the Lord. Of course, Abraham can trust the Lord God to be his shield. He is a great place in the storms of life for us to go to. He is with us. He cares for us. And then the Lord says, I am your great reward. Don't you worry about taking all that money from the king of Sodom. I'm your reward. I'll watch after you. I'll care for you. Do not be afraid. The Lord speaks into his heart the truth he needs to hear. And what does that do? It opens the floodgates of questions. There's Abraham. I think he's looking a bit too young in this picture. He's actually 75 in this story. Anyway, he's obviously found Grecian 2000 in that part of the world. But actually, there's Abraham, and he speaks honestly to God. Boys and girls, I wonder, do you have in your classroom a worry box? Where actually your teacher asks you to write down worries, and you put them in the box, and the teacher reads them and helps you to sort them out. They're great things, worry boxes. Well, Abraham takes his worries to the Lord. In verses 2 and 3, he says, Lord, I still haven't got any children. I am childless. You promised children, and we're getting on. Where are the kids? The man of faith asks God questions. That's a great thing to do, isn't it? If we're trusting the Lord Jesus to bring all our questions, all our worries, all our fears to him in prayer, he loves us to tell him things. You know, we have doubts, don't we, boys and girls and grown-ups? We have doubts. We wonder, can I trust the Lord? Does he care? Is he working for my good? I've been ill, I'm stressed, I'm worried, I'm finding it tough at school, I'm finding it tough at home. Does the Lord know? Does he care? Well, does he? Well, yes, he does. Yes, he does. There's Abraham, and he's looking at his situation, no kids yet, with that great promise of a family from my people. What are you doing, Lord? It's the cry of God's people, isn't it? How long, O Lord? How long will it take for you to answer your promises? How long, O Lord? But my friends, this morning, God's timing is not our timing. But we can trust his timing. We may think God takes a long time, but God's clock has not stopped. His watch keeps going. We know that Jesus, the Messiah, came at just the right time. We can trust his promises. What does God do to reassure Abraham? Well, he reminds him of his promises. He keeps bringing the promises back to him. In verse 4, the word of the Lord came to him. God speaks and reminds him of his promises. He says, no, this man is not going to get all your stuff, Eliezer. You're going to get a son from your own self, from you and Sarah. And then he did a lovely thing. He takes Abraham and he shows him the night sky. And he says, look. Look at all the stars. You're going to have as many kids as that. I will not let you down. Start counting them. Are you still counting them? Have you finished counting them yet? All these stars in the sky. I will keep my promise. I will keep my word to you. And we're told in verse 6 that Abraham believed the Lord. God brings the promises. And we are to believe the promises. Abraham believed the Lord. And Abraham receives an amazing gift. Who doesn't love getting gifts? It's great to get gifts, isn't it? What is the gift that God gives to Abraham? He gives him the gift of his righteousness. The Lord gives Abraham the gift of being in a right relationship with him. Through trusting the promises of God, he finds acceptance with God. It is credited to him as righteousness. That's what the Lord does for Abraham. That's what he does for us. We trust the promises of Jesus. He calls us to believe in him and we'll receive eternal life. To believe in him and we're accepted by the Father to find forgiveness. As we trust in God's promises, he brings the promises. We are to trust in them. As we do that, that is the way of salvation. As we trust what God promises and he gives us the gift of his righteousness. And in the New Testament, in Romans and in Galatians and in James, this verse is quoted again and again. It's a key verse to understand faith. God brings the promises and we trust him. We trust him just as Abraham is. And of course, Abraham's not earning brownie points, is he? Actually, this is all God's gracious gift to him. Abraham is not perfect. His faith is wibbly-wobbly. But actually, the Lord is faithful to Abraham. Well then, the Lord reminds Abraham of the next promise, verse 7, I'm going to give you a place, a land. This land will be yours. And Abraham says, well, Lord, verse 8, Sovereign Lord, how can I know that's going to happen? How can I know I'm going to gain the possession? It's full of people right now. How can I know that's going to happen? Well, what does God do to reassure him? What does he do? Well, we know the Lord who knows, who cares, who understands, the Lord who speaks his promises, gives him a concrete picture of how committed God is to Abraham and his family. He gives him a covenant, verse 18, an agreement that he's going to keep. And it all might sound a bit strange to us. It involves Abraham gathering loads of animals in verse 9. If you see it there, it's a bit like old MacDonald's farm. There is a heifer, which I think is a cow, a goat, a ram, and then a dove and a young pigeon. Now, I haven't got all those animals, but I have got other animals with me. Here we go. I've got, that's my heifer. It's actually a dog. Here we go. This is like a ram. It's a little sheep. Here we go. This is nothing like a goat, but it's a teddy. That'll have to do. I haven't got a dove, but I've got an ostrich. There's my ostrich just here. And I haven't got a pigeon, I have got a crow. Here we go. And I do have with me today my gardening shears. So, okay, I won't do it. Anyway, Abraham, he was told to take these animals, to cut them in half, to lay them out on the ground. There they are. Can we see that? And to put them either side. And then what happens? Does Abraham do anything else? No, he's sent into a deep sleep. Verse 12. And as Abraham sleeps, what happens is this. A torch, there's he sleeping, a torch and a bowl of fire moves through this covenant. Now, what is going on? Maybe, boys and girls, when I was teaching, maybe you have little school agreements you have at school. When I was a teacher, we used to have an agreement that when you move from having a pencil to a pen, you signed a bit of paper with a teacher to show that that was going on. And so what would happen, you get your pen license and I'd sign it, and then the child would sign it. And that would mean if you tried to walk off with a pen when you left the school, I'd say, hang on a second, that is my pen, give it back, because you signed. It's like a pen covenant. If you've got property and you let it out, you sign an agreement, a covenant, a contract, two parties. Well, in Abram's day, they didn't have bits of paper, they had very valuable animals. And when you made an agreement with someone, you'd cut them in half and you'd walk with that person through that line of animals to say, this is the covenant I'm making, because actually, if you break it or I break it, you're going to be like these animals, you're going to be dead meat. It showed how serious the covenant was. So don't break this agreement, or a curse will fall on you. You will be in a battle, you'll be like this dead meat. Do not break the covenants. Very serious. But actually, in this account, who is walking through the bits of meat, the sacrifice? It's not Abraham, he's fast asleep. It's symbols of the Lord God. The Lord God is moving through the animals, because it's a covenant, an agreement he makes, and it depends on him alone. Amazing. God's promises depend on him alone. There's Abraham with wibbly wobbly faith, with questions, just like us, with doubts. It doesn't depend on him. It's God's promise. And he shows it's sure and true because it depends on him, this covenant, this promise that he makes. We know that we break promises, don't we? But God never does. And we know from the life of Jesus and his death on the cross that the amazing thing is that actually God, who makes his promise, who walks through on his own because it's about him, that he actually takes on himself and his son the curse for the ways that we would break that covenant. He makes the promise, he takes the curse, and it's a curse he takes on his son in blood, which seals that relationship with God. An amazing thing. An amazing thing. You see, the one who keeps the promise is the one who takes the punishment for us on the cross. Isn't that amazing? You see, Abraham did not need to be afraid. He doesn't need to worry that God won't keep his promises. He just needs to be reminded again and again of the word of the Lord, and that God has made a contract, a covenant, a commitment to his people that depends on him alone and he will never, ever break. How amazing. What a glorious God we have. To Abraham's questions and fears, the Lord who knows, who cares, who understands, reminds Abraham of his precious promises. And he shows his commitment to him by walking through these animals, saying, I will not let you down. I will not break my promises. I'm committed to you and your family. I wonder, have you ever helped someone who's struggling with their faith, who's doubting, who's questioning, can I really be a Christian? Can I really trust God's promises? Maybe that's how you feel today. Maybe it's tough at home or at school or at work and you think, it's so hard. Can I really trust the Lord's promises to me in Jesus Christ? Well, the God who knows, cares, and understands is the God who keeps his promises. And what do we need? How can I help another Christian friend? How can I help my kids or my parents? I need to bring my questions, my struggles to the Lord in prayer. And I need you to remind me of the promises of God again and again and again. for his promises are sure. They are paid for in blood on the cross. They are rock solid and dependable. So, my friends, do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield and your very great reward. What a lovely, comforting word from the Lord to Abraham, who knew him so well. What I'd love us to do is to say that together. But instead of saying the word Abraham, to say your name. We're allowed to speak, so we can do that. Why don't we do that together? Do not be afraid, Steve. I am your shield, your very great reward. And now we're going to do it a bit more verve, lest I fall asleep in your presence. 1, 2, 3. Do not be afraid, Steve. I am your shield, your very great reward. Let me pray. Lord, we rejoice in your tenderness to Abraham and your tenderness to us. Thank you for your very precious promises. Help us to bring our questions, our fears, our worries to you and to apply your promises to our hearts, for they are yes and amen in Jesus Christ. We pray this for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.